Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host, Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we do take a close look at one of the appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Many people aren't aware that she's even appearing, and many think it was just 100 years ago or maybe several centuries ago. But the truth is, she's been appearing ever since 40 AD and up to the present day. Yes, right now, even right now. The problem is with the things that happen right now, we often don't hear about them fully and in detail for maybe 5, 10, even 15 years because it takes a while for that good information to get out and for people to know what's really happening, unless it's in your neighborhood or someplace where you might hear about it sooner. But she has appeared all over the world, and people did not expect this. They weren't looking for it. They often didn't know who she was when she showed up. Sometimes it was months before they understood who she really was. So it wasn't like they prayed for her to come and she just showed up because she was asked to. That really hasn't happened. It's basically God in heaven decides where she needs to be, where she needs to stimulate interest back into the church, where she needs to help people, where she needs to inspire, perhaps like she did in Mexico with Guadalupe. 9 million Indians converted to the Catholic faith just from her one appearance there. So it just shows you what impact it can have. Some of the most beautiful basilicas and cathedrals around the world, very few people realize that a lot of them were because Mary had visited there, inspired the people, and centuries ago they built beautiful churches. And even, even the one in Washington, D.C., of the Immaculate Conception, very few realize that that was inspired and the plans were drawn up by Mary herself. With apparitions in the Midwest. So there's so much that people don't realize what impact she has had on our culture and all over the world. So what we try to do on this show is study each appearance fully in as much detail as we can and with as much credibility as we can give it. And any evidence or science, anything that might be part of that whole experience. And we are returning tonight to a very famous one, which has a lot of controversy over it. And it always is when there's a really good one that people always like to debate because it might be too good. And sometimes they don't want to accept that. They want to find fault with it. They're maybe afraid to believe. So we're talking about Medjugorje. We'll be going back there for week two. And last week was pretty interesting because there were so many prophetic visions and voices prior to her first appearance there. An amazing assortment of prophetic visions and comments and incidents ahead of time. It was quite the foretelling of something major that was going to happen in that area, even to the point of exact detailed visions of what was going to happen there. Well before it took place. So very interesting details in last week's show. And then we started into the actual first apparitions, which we'll pick up tonight. But before we do that, we like to check with our team that has signed on. And, of course, my co-host, Donald Hartley, is with us. Hey, good evening to you.
Hey, John, and just listening to your monologue, I can't help but think about how many people have converted to the Lord and to his church through Medjugorje. I mean, so many. I mean, it's countless. Even when I was there, there were people that I had witnessed to that were from Baptist minister potentials to Buddhists that were becoming Catholic as a result of this. And so no
wow.
telling how many. Yeah, I mean, what God has done for all of this.
If they think this is the work of the devil, he's not doing a very good job if we have all these conversions to God. And, you know, that's a funny thing. If it were truly some evil spirits or some deception, then it ain't working very good. 50 million people are going there and conversions and people getting closer to God and miracles and healings. That just don't sound like the work of the devil to me.
No, not even, I mean, no.
No.
Yeah, there are
right.
those that will try to deceive, but that's why we have the Holy Catholic Church. That is exactly why we have the Holy Catholic Church, because the Lord gives the church to protect the people. You go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, you know, that we are to test the spirit whenever anything supernatural is taking place. And so that's why it takes the church this opportunity. It takes, what, about 53 to 56 years before the church, as an average. And so,
right, an average.
I mean, we're still within that average right now with Medjugorje.
Well, it has received the first line of approval. And the Vatican has an envoy there from Poland who serves as a permanent Vatican representative in Medjugorje to oversee things and to help them along. They wouldn't do that if they didn't think there was something worthwhile going on there. they would never do that unless they were convinced. And they had a partial approval already for the first year. And, of course, it's gone on about 40 years now. But, you know, that's how they start the approval process. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But it is, for those who don't think it's approved and it's on the bad list or something, you're wrong. You know, things are moving in a very positive manner there. They're expanding the church and making more facilities. And there's tons of confession booths. Didn't they have like one for different languages and everything there, Donald? Different confession booths?
Oh, gosh. They have mass every day, all day long, in different languages. When I was there, the English mass was like at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock time period. And it was yeah, it was all day long. And then at 5 o'clock is when they open it up to the locals. And the rosary and everything there, it's just a wonderful day for anyone that goes there in pilgrimage. And you have priests galore there from all over the world. It's just amazing.
That's so cool. Yeah, very cool. Mm-hmm. So who else is with us tonight?
Well, we got John, the Virginian, that is here, as well as we have Kathy from Jefferson City. I was trying to get, spit that out.
Yeah.
Those are the two that we have. How you doing there? I think, Kathy, how you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Well, we'll take that.
And John, you there?
Hey, John, you managed to pull a great trick tonight. You managed to get the Catholic Defender on the show tonight while the Chiefs are playing. So that's quite an accomplishment. I have to give you credit.
He's probably got the TV on within sight. Got one eyeball on it. Anyway.
Well.
So, any comments before we get started?
Well, I mean, disclosure, I will be honest and say that Medjugorje is one of the apparitions that I struggle with. I'm not firmly against it, not firmly for it. I've been kind of going back and forth. So I'm going to probably spend more time than normal kind of in the audience seat listening, because I'm open to being persuaded. But this is one of the very few that I do admit that I have some difficulty with.
No problem. We'll win you over.
John, I have to tell you, when you're looking at John the Virginian, if you ever seen that movie Over the Top, you know, about the arm wrestling with Stallone, well, that's John the Virginian there. He is stuck right there. He's got that arm rest. He is just totally grimacing, trying to go one way, and his soul just won't let him continue to go forward, so he's stuck right there. So the Lord has got you, John, to see if you can't bend the tide right there.
Since I've never seen that movie, I have no idea what you're saying, but I'll go along with you.
You've never seen Over the Top? Oh, boy.
No.
Well, anyway, I have no doubt. We'll be here several weeks. And, John, I would suggest you listen to last week's program. It's very interesting, all the prophetic visions leading up to Medjugorje. That just doesn't happen with a lot of apparitions. And it was very interesting to hear all the different things that were happening prior to and leading up to. Fascinating stuff. So tonight we will continue to pick up with some of the very first days of the apparitions. And I'm going to pick up with the tail end of the conversation that we're having with Mary that we ended with last week. Mirjana, who's about 17 years old, asked Mary, "Who are you?" And Mary says, "I am the Most Blessed Virgin Mary." And then she says, "Well, why are you appearing to us? We are not better than others." And Mary said something which I think is so key to many apparitions. She said to her, "I do not necessarily choose the best." And others then chimed in and said, will you come back? And she said, yes, to the same place as yesterday. Go in the peace of God. Well, the next morning, the government authorities from nearby Kitluk had the police interrogate the children. But they stood firm in their claims. A police psychiatrist could not detect any mental issues. When the children arrived at the hill that evening, a large crowd was already on the hill awaiting them. Three flashes of light were often visible to many in the crowd. And we've heard that with Fatima and with some other apparitions, three flashes of light, like lightning, but there's no storm. So when Mary arrived, the children would suddenly stop the group prayer on the exact same word and drop to their knees in uncanny synchronization. By the way, I've seen that on video where they're praying like the Lord's Prayer, and then all of a sudden, without any cue to each other, they stop, their voices go silent, and they drop to their knees within a fifth of a second. Scientists had even measured that. And that's happened in many other apparitions, but here we could see it on film, and we could actually, time it. You know, it was a fifth of a second for six of them to drop to their knees and stop on the same word. Very interesting. So it was very crowded on the mountainside, and so when Mary appeared to them, the mass of praying, singing witnesses was just a bit too close. When the visionary saw the crowd accidentally step on the Virgin's long veil, because, you know, they couldn't see her, but the visionaries could, Mary would disappear. When some order was established, she would reappear. But then a boy stepped on her veil, and she disappeared again. With tears in their eyes, the visionary children cried out, "Be careful! You are standing on parts of her gown, and she keeps disappearing each time you do that." Well, a few protective adults cordoned off an area, so to give the visionaries the space they needed for Mary to appear. The Virgin did not vanish after they did that. The children would focus on the same spot in the air, and each would be in conversation with her, separate from the others. Their mouths moved to form words, but without any audible sound to the onlookers. Here is their summary of this fourth apparition on Saturday, June 27th. Mary says, "Praised be Jesus." And Yakov says, "What do you expect of our Franciscans?" And Mary says, "Have them persevere in the faith and protect the faith of others." Mirjana had been greatly concerned by the allegations of skeptics who attributed the vision simply to hallucinations induced by drug abuse. Mirjana said to Mary, "Leave us a sign, because the people treat us like liars." Mary responded, "My angels, do not be afraid of injustice. It has always existed." "Well, how must we pray?" And Mary said, "Continue to recite seven Our Fathers and seven Hail Marys, and glory be to the Fathers. But also add the Creed. Goodbye, my angels. Go in the peace of God." I'll stop right there for a second. See if you have any comments or reactions.
I think it's appropriate that Our Lady would say 777, because you know what the perfect number of Christ is, right? The number seven.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's a sign of identity right there. And but to me, I think it's very important that whatever the angel, whatever the lady, whenever we have a heavenly messenger that from heaven, they're not going to tell you to do something that is wrong or off the wall or anything like that. They're going to do everything they can to get you to do the right thing, spiritually speaking, to get you closer to God. And that's what all this is about there, John. All of this is to get us closer to God. And so that's what we should be seeing whenever we see any of these things, is because it's not just for them specifically, but it's for all of us as well, because if God is doing something, even if it's a private revelation, it has a positive effect from the people all the way to all of us. So I think that is what is important here, to hang on there. What do you think about that there, Kathy?
I agree with you.
What do you think, John?
I mean, John is on the listening mode here because he doesn't know enough to speak about it. But I will ask you this.
I don't either.
Kathy, Kathy, I got a question for you. You know, what did you think from last week's show? Because this was your first major time of really looking into it, right? So far, what do you think about this so far, at least where we're covering so far?
Well, I believe in it, but I can't tell you why. I just think it's true.
It feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
John, I have a question for you.
I've never been there.
John, I have one. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, John.
My question is, the part where they're accidentally stepping on Our Lady's veil and disappearing. Do you know of any other approved apparitions or anything like that? Anything similar to that happened? Because that's kind of a detail I'm not familiar with ever hearing before.
I haven't heard that in particular before, but I know that often Mary won't appear if the conditions aren't right. I've heard that before, where if certain conditions aren't right, she won't show up. They can't see her. So this crowd, and I've seen pictures of this particular apparition, and they are packed in there, just like at a rock concert. They are packed in there right up next to the visionaries. So I have no doubt that they were probably crowding her, and she just, you know, would disappear until they gave her room. Didn't hurt her or anything, but she just couldn't be in their space, and they didn't know they were in her space. Fatima, they cordoned off an area in Fatima, and also they did that in several other apparitions. They cordoned off an area and gave the visionary space. So this was unusual to have a crowd packing in that closely, and that isn't usually the case in other apparitions.
Well, there's 2 points that I got to make out of this. First of all, it shows that Our Lady is not just a spirit. She's their body and soul. I think that's one thing. And when Jesus also, when he was amongst the multitude, and I mean people were upon him and clinging upon him, when that one woman that had the element touched the hem of his garment, he felt power come from her. He had somebody very close to him as well. So to me, I think it's just very interesting. You know, so.
Yeah.
That's just 2 points that I would make about this, because it shows, just like the woman of Revelation chapter 12, she had a crown of 12 stars on her head. It wasn't just a symbol, but it was a real entity, a manifestation that John saw.
Right.
So.
Okay, so moving on. Ivan, one of the six, had not been present, either due to stomach cramps or his mother forbidding him to attend. Nevertheless, he was depressed about it, but he took a short walk. Mary had noted his absence and asked the other visionaries where he was. Then the Blessed Virgin surprised him on his walk with a special appearance by the side of the road and said to him, quote, "Be in peace and take courage. Go in God's peace." Then she gave him a beautiful smile that he said he would never forget. On the fifth day of visitations, Sunday, June 28th, some 15,000 people had gathered to watch. Now, I'm telling you, I told you the crowd was packed. 15,000 people by Sunday, the 28th. Mary appeared promptly at 6:30 p.m. again, just like she did at Lourdes and other places, always at the same time. And the crowd was singing, and Mary said, "Praise be Jesus." The visionary said, "Dear Gospa," which is the name in their language for her, Gospa. And they said, "Dear Gospa, what do you wish?" Mary said, "That people believe and persevere in the faith." Vishka said, and Mary said, "That they remain strong in the faith and that they help you." Visionaries then asked her, "Why don't you appear to everyone in the church?" And Mary said, "Blessed are they who believe without having seen." Visionaries then said, "Will you come back?" And Mary said, "Yes, to the same place." The visionary said, "Do you prefer prayer or singing?" And Mary said, "Both, pray and sing." Vishka said, "Well, what do you wish from the crowd which is gathered here?" Mary gave her a loving look, a smile, and vanished for a few minutes. The children prayed and sang a song, and then Mary reappeared. "There she is. Let's sing a song." Maria leads the song. And Blessed Mary said, "My angels, my dear angels." And Vishka said, "Gospa, what do you expect of these people?" Repeated that twice more. Finally, Mary said, "That those who do not see believe as those who do see." Vishka said, "Will you leave us a sign so that people believe that we are not liars or charlatans?" Mary simply smiled and said, "Go in the peace of God." And then the visionary said, "She has left. There's a light behind her. She's gone." Okay, now, that's very common where Mary just smiles and says, "Go in the peace of God." That's very typical when people ask her to do something. She just smiles. And, you know, part of that is she doesn't do anything of her own wish. She says she always follows God's wishes and delivers the messages that God wants her to impart. She doesn't really act on her own. And she's always said that Jesus is right with her at all times. So, when they want her to do something, she kind of sidesteps that because it's not really her choice to say so. She might have to go back and talk to God about that. and then she might have something later. And that happened at Fatima, of course, where then she said was going to happen down the road.
We see that also in the Book of Kings when with Solomon. Solomon, his mother came to him with a request by his brother. And so that is not unusual for people to make requests to the queen. And so that's part, again, of that tradition that goes all the way back to the beginning when the king of Israel was actually beginning with King Saul, who then went to King David because King Saul disobeyed our Lord, and he lost it. And so it went over to King David. King David became the king, and it's his lineage that's important that we're seeing right here. And it was his son Solomon who became king, and he was the one that placed his mother as the first queen of Israel. And so when you have Mary interceding on behalf of God's people, that is really basically the same. It's the same understanding in the foundation. So if people are wondering about that or questioning about that, I just thought that was important to mention.
Good point. All right. So moving on Monday, June 29th, this has only been going on a week, you must realize. It's barely a week since it started up. The children were again summoned by the authorities and sent to the neuropsychiatric department at the hospital in Mostar. They were subjected to harsh interrogations. Attempts were made to frighten them by exposing them to severely demented patients at the hospital. They were also shown dead bodies in the mortuary, but they passed every test, confidently answering every question without hesitation. A Muslim psychiatrist, Dr. Maliha Dzuda, I'm sure I didn't say that right, but he declared, quote, "I have not seen more normal children than these. It is those," referring to the police, "it is those who brought them here who should be declared insane." That's kind of an interesting comment. That evening, the sixth apparition appeared on the hillside. The visionaries asked Mary, "Dear Gospa, are you happy to see so many people here today?" Mary is smiling radiantly. "More than happy," she responds. The visionaries ask her, "How long will you stay with us?" And Mary says, "As long as you want me to, my angel." The visionaries then said, "Well, what do you expect of the people who have come in spite of brambles and the heat?" Mary said, "There is only one God, one faith. Let the people believe firmly and do not fear anything." Be not afraid. The visionaries said, "Well, what do you expect of us?" Mary said, "That you have a solid faith and maintain confidence." Then they asked her, "Will you be able to endure persecutions which will come to us because of you?" Mary said, "You will be able to, my angels. Do not fear. You will be able to endure everything. You must believe and have confidence in me." Oh, this is an interesting little point now. A local doctor from Siklok, Dr. Darinka Glamuzina, was sent by the authorities to observe the children. She came forward and asked the children if she could touch this heavenly person that they claimed to be seeing. And Dishka says to Mary, "May this lady touch you?" And Mary responds, "There have always been unbelieving Judases, but let her touch me. She may come closer." Mishka shows the lady where to stretch out her hand. The doctor moves her hand to touch the Blessed Virgin, which, of course, she's just looking at empty space, but she moves her hand to touch the Virgin where Mishka says. Suddenly, Dr. Glamuzina became instantly fearful and jerked her hand away. The Virgin then disappeared. The doctor described her experience. "I felt something metallic and shocking. It sent shivers throughout my body. It was at that moment that I knew something was really happening here," unquote. And by the way, I understand later that she returned to her community and went back to the Catholic Church after that incident. She was so moved by what she felt when she reached out her hand. So,
John,
interesting for her. Yes.
Just on that point, when Our Lady was in Egypt, and when that individual got within 5 feet on the other side of the wall, and he felt such, he felt something that was so powerful, you know,
yes.
I think it's kind of something similar to that. I mean,
he described the ladder he was on was shaking and vibrating. And he felt like an electrical field or something. And he could not take one step closer. Turns out he was within about 3 to 4 feet from her. She was on the rooftop and he was right at the opening to the rooftop, and he didn't know he was that close to her. So, and I will say this without going into a lot of detail. Other people have felt her presence physically and described it as in the same way, kind of a I hate to use the word metallic because that doesn't sound right, but they use that word as, I guess, the sensation reminds them of something metallic or energized in some way. So it's interesting that others have reported that, and it changed this lady. Oh, my gosh, this doctor went back to her church and got closer to her Catholicism again. Any other comments?
Catherine Laboure. Didn't Catherine Laboure have that experience?
Well, she put her hand on Mary's lap for about 2 hours and talked with her. I don't remember her having any particular comment about energy or something, but that doesn't mean she didn't feel it. She just didn't record it in her diary.
One thing I will mention on this point, and when you're dealing with the supernatural and heavenly visits, for example, when you go to Daniel and Ezekiel, they have that kind of experience where they fall flat on their face as though dead. They lose all kinds of, they're drained energy and all that. And so it's just an interesting perspective, I think. And
I
so
agree.
When we're talking about the holiness of God's presence among us through his saints and angels, Our Lady, it's going to cause something within us, I think, and hopefully to inspire us. That's the way I understand it and see it.
And that doctor was a real skeptic. She was like, yeah, prove it to me. Let me feel this, you know. I mean, she was sent by the authorities probably just to disprove everything, and she came away with quite a unique experience and certainly didn't disprove anything. So that was an interesting little test. Well, then Mary reappeared and the dialogue continued. The visionary said, the light, she's back. Here she is. Then the parents of a 3-year-old boy who was suffering from septicemia since his first week of life, they stepped forward and asked the visionaries to petition Our Lady for the handicapped child. So they said, dear Gospa, is little Daniel going to speak someday? Cure him so that they will all believe us. These people love you very much, dear Gospa. Perform a miracle. Please, dear Gospa, say something. Mary replied, have them believe strongly and pray for his cure. Go in the peace of God. Then the visionaries told everyone, she's gone. Look, the light. And I guess sometimes, and Donald, you might comment on this, because I think a lot of times people could see the light when she would come or go. They would see a light in the air. Did you hear that from people when you were there?
Oh, definitely. I saw, I talked with people that did. I didn't see that myself. When I got the picture that I have of the Lord's presence or face, I did not see that. A gentleman next to me saw that, and we took the picture of it. And it is pretty wild how when we took the picture of it, we could actually see the picture then. And I've had that. I mean, when I was in Korea, Odashi, when you go to the field, I mean, Ajima and Odashi, these different groups out there, they know about our every movement out there. So when we go to the field, they're out there with us. And so, but Odashi, he placed that picture that I had of our Lord that we took from the picture in the sky, and he placed on this nice plaque that I got. And I've had that with me from when I was in station in New Orleans. I had officers and applicants and all kinds of people that will see it, and I'll ask them, what do you see? And once they see it, it's just like, wow. It still does that, because I still ask people that. It's just powerful.
That's great. That little story that, you know, they asked for a healing, and here's what happened. Little Daniel, now, he could neither hear nor speak, and he walked with a limp. Although the parents were disappointed that there was no instant cure given to their son, They did as the Virgin had asked and prayed fervently and continuously on their long trip home. Later that evening, the family stopped at a small restaurant for dinner. As they discussed the day's events at Medjugorje, little Daniel grabbed a cup and banged it on the table, exclaiming in a loud voice, "Mama, I want milk." Remember, this kid cannot speak. Several months later, Daniel could hear and speak just fine. Soon he was running and playing with the other boys. Now in his late 30s, he is completely healthy. So there's the first healing, an intercession with Mary. She gave directions, they followed it, and on their own, they experienced a true physical healing for their son. So that was one of the first miracles right there. What do you think?
Oh, isn't that the Bible? Jesus, did he not come to heal the lame, the deaf speak, and the hear and the mute speak? I mean, this is gospel. This is the gospel that we see Jesus doing. And so why would not the Queen of Heaven be sharing this? You know, why wouldn't Jesus be doing that now? I think I think it's awesome. Awesome. And it's for us. Not just for the person that was received the healing, but that's for us as well. It's for us as well.
Right. And it's a reminder, that we don't get things when we want them, that we do as she suggests, we fervently pray. And they did continuously and fervently all the way home. And so because they followed Mary's directions, it seems like that made the difference. Had they not, had they just gone away angry or mad and not prayed like she asked, probably nothing would have happened. But they were obedient and faithful and praying fervently, and it happened in heaven's time, not in what they wanted. So it seems very biblical to me in that regard as well. Okay, now,
amen.
On Tuesday, June 30th, two social workers who are from the government took the children on a long day of treats and sightseeing, deliberately away from the site of the apparitions. As the rendezvous time of 6:30 p.m. with Mary approached, the children demanded to be let out of the car. They were on the opposite side of Cernica Hill, while thousands of people awaited their arrival on the other hillside. A light began to illuminate the area where the crowds had gathered. Now, see, that's significant right there. The kids aren't there, but a light was beginning to illuminate the area where the crowds were. But then the light started moving across and over toward where the children were, who were several miles away. Ivanka asked the social workers if they saw the light, and they did. The children knelt, and Mary appeared to them. They asked if she was upset that they were not at the regular location, and she indicated that it did not make a difference. Then they asked Mary if she had any objection to meeting in the church instead from this time on. After some thought, she said that she would not mind at all. All right, so Father Jozo Zavko, the parish priest, had respectfully listened to the children's encounters and asked them many questions, but he was cautious to jump to any conclusion. What convinced him that these apparitions were genuine was his own experience on Wednesday, July 1st. Again, barely a week after all this started. It's so much has happened so quickly. Father Jozo says, quote, "Sometime in the middle of the day, the police came to find the children because the two social workers had failed to stop them. In fact, the social workers actually resigned after their experience. The children were evading the authorities the best they could that day. I was alone in the church praying when I heard a clear voice say, "Come out and protect the children." Well, I left my Bible and I hurried to the door of the church. With my foot still in the air and the door handle in my hand, the children were running toward me from the left, trying to escape the police. They begged me to hide them as they gathered around me, crying. I embraced the children and took them to an unoccupied room at the rectory, locking them inside. Shortly afterwards, Our Lady came to them in that room. Father Joseph was able to end the police pursuits by invoking an existing law that prevented the interrogation of minors without parental consent. Way to go. Father Joseph was privileged to share. Hold on. Father Joseph was privileged to share in a, quote, silent apparition with the children in the choir loft on one evening that summer at 6:30 p.m., in which he, too, saw her and was, quote, stupefied, unquote. This solidified his belief beyond any doubt. So there, the priest got to see her, all right? You know, a lot of people don't realize that, but he actually had a moment where he was able to see her, and that did it for him. Okay, let's hear some comments.
Well, John, I just have to tell you, I spent some time in that room. I really did.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, I was able to spend some time in there. And
nice.
It's a wonderful story situation all the way around. And, you know, to be able to participate in this situation is really cool as well. So,
nice.
You know, but I have to tell anybody that's listening to this show, I mean, when you go to Mass and you go to receive the Eucharist, there is holy ground. And so these things are important because God uses these things to rev us up, to get us going. But if we understand, if we got our spiritual antennas up, wherever you have Mass, that is holy ground. And just so, but what a wonderful opportunity it is when we have these events and have these situations that we can be there and participate in these events. Because they're heavenly. They're heavenly.
Yeah. They certainly are.
But so far, Kathy, what do you think about this? Anything that you've heard that kind of gets your interest? She may be taking a break there, too. So, okay, John.
So in mid-July, Our Lady asked the children to meet her on the hillside at 11 p.m. The children also invited 30 of their closest followers. One of the adults saw the sky opening up and a great, intense light coming toward them. Everyone exclaimed that they could see this light. A globe of light came out of the old wooden cross at this site and burst into thousands of bright stars, causing some children to panic and scream. But Maria cried out, "Be calm, Our Lady is with us." And everyone knelt and prayed for 40 solemn minutes. Notice that 40, Donald. 40 solemn minutes. Tell us the biblical significance of 40.
Oh, gosh. You know, 40 is all over the place in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus, when he began his public ministry with his baptism, when he was baptized, he went out and he spent 40 days and 40 nights into the desert where the devil came and challenged him. And so these children during this 40 minutes must have felt like the devil was after them too. And like I said last week, I know what it feels like just because when I was there, it was 88. It was like 9 years later. But because I was in the military, they had military people, you know, that from there that were keeping an eye on all of us. They were in plain clothes, and they were in helicopters flying overhead. And so it was they were keeping a watch on us for sure. And so these children had, you know, because they had to understand that they were being helped. The priest was helping them, and that was important too.
This next little bit, I think we'll have a great discussion on. The visionaries declared, and this is on the hill when the light's coming at everybody, and it comes out of the cross, and quite a display of lights, and all supernatural, nothing to explain all these lights. And the visionaries declared, quote, Our Lady is looking at all of you and telling you that those who would like to touch her may do so. So the children led the others to her, but as they stepped on her veil, she would disappear momentarily. Those that touched her all described a numbing of the hands. So there you go, another incident of being touched. But listen to this. If a sinner touched her, her dress would turn darker. And if too many sinners touched her dress, it would turn black and she would disappear. Maria insisted that people needed to, quote, come clean and go to confession. The next day, there were long lines for confession at the church. So,
wow.
I like that. I like that.
That's normal, too. When I was there, yeah. I mean, they had to be 50 different priests up there to help consolidating the Mass from all over the world.
Wow.
We had our military priest that was there as well. But that was an amazing thing, and people could go to confession, and it was a lot like long lines like you would find at McDonald's or something. That's what confession was like when we were there at Medjugorje, for sure.
And, you know, the saints had a lot of experiences, including Padre Pio, where they could see the tainted souls of the sinners. They could see the darkness in them. They could even smell sin. Many of them could smell it like a terrible odor if the person was sinful.
Sulfur.
I wrote
kind of like
about
sulfur.
That in my second book. Yeah. And so here, Mary's like a litmus test. If you touch her and you've sinned a little, it turns darker. If you sinned a lot, it turns black.
Wow.
They all felt this numbing of the hands when they touched her. So, interesting little test there. Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, when we're talking about sin and we're talking about secularism and the way a lot of people are, people don't see it. They don't feel it in that way. Just like, for example, like hearing loss. You go out there and you do something and you get some hearing loss. You don't feel the pain of it. You get a hearing test, and before you know, I saw people that were 30 years old, 25 years old, that had the hearing of a 60 or 70 or 80 year old. And it's just because of the, you know, but the point I'm making is we don't feel the sin. We don't feel the pain of it specifically. And so what our Lord does is he tries to reach our conscience. He tries to reach our hearts so that we would have the means in our heart, our own heart, to recognize, hey, we need to go to confession. And so that's what that is a sign. It says in Acts chapter 2:17 that it shall come to pass that in the last times he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, the handmaids of the Lord shall prophesy. And he would perform wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. So that's what this would have to be. It would be a sign for those individuals specifically. Hey, you need to go to confession. And so... I wish that, I mean, what a grace it is for them to actually to recognize that, to see that. Because when you have the Lord revealing to yourself the need to go, that changes the whole thing. And we've seen that in all kinds of miracles where the Lord touched someone's heart and they do repent. They do go to confession. That's the whole basis of James chapter 5, 19 through 20, that if someone goes astray from the truth and then another brings them back, know that you have saved a soul from death and what? and cancels a multitude of sin. That's what happens when you go to confession, because when you confess your sins, those sins, the Lord takes those sins and throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers them no more. And that's why I call it a judgment of mercy. It's the seat of mercy. And when you receive a judgment, you receive a judgment of mercy in the confessional. And so that's what I believe that refers to, and why Our Lady calling for that.
You might remember there was a apparition series we did in Laos, France, L-A-U-S, France.
Uh-huh.
And that was when there were, such a strong smell of roses from heaven that they banned flowers from the church. Well, that visionary could see the souls were tainted, and even young priests would come there and they'd be afraid to go in the church because the visionary would go up to them and say, nope, sorry, you can't take communion. and they were afraid to go in the church because he would always see who had a tainted soul and who had a dark shadow on them or something. So it's a very interesting thought, but here Mary's dress became the litmus test, you might say, of how clean her soul was and how dirty it would make her dress. So, hey, John Virginia, what do you think of that? I know you're listening.
Well,
let
me see if I can pull him off of the, because he's been listening to this. Oh, there he is. He pulled himself in. Go ahead,
yeah.
John.
Well, you know, I remember the scene in the Old Testament, and we believe the Ark of the Covenant is a typology of Mary. And so we believe that Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. And we remember the scene in the Old Testament where Uzzah, who was a sinner, touched the Ark of the Covenant and was struck dead just for touching it.
Right.
I have a real problem with this idea that these sinful people would be allowed to touch the Blessed Mother and sully her dress. These are the kinds of messages that really have me skeptical of the apparitions of Virgin Mary. This is at Medjugorje. This is one of the examples that really trouble me. I have very much difficulty with this. And I'll put myself on mute and let you answer.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. It's what so many people reported and what went on and what they say happened. And like we were just saying, you know, the saints could see this and they could see this darkness and everything in people's souls. And it wasn't that Mary wanted sinners to touch her, but if someone touched her that was a sinner, it would cause her dress to react. And I can't explain that, but, you know, all we do is report what has taken place and what they say happened. And we have so much more to cover. We're just in the first two of this series, and we'll probably be there another 4 weeks or so. So much to cover. So just hang in there. We are running out of time tonight, and so as always, we'd like to invite everyone out there who's listening to join us in the worldwide Hail Mary. We know all your voices will come together in unison from all these time zones and all these countries from around the world. And what a wonderful gift to heaven for all these voices to rise up in unison to heaven saying Hail Mary together. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God Amen. Bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We are so glad you joined us, and take all this information and just let it percolate in your spiritual self and see what you decide. But stay with us because there's so much more to come, and we're just scratching the surface here, getting into this whole deal at Medjugorje, but I think you'll find it interesting, and it's always nice when our co-host has been there and can attest to a lot of these things personally. So that's a nice treat. I'd like to go. I don't know when it will happen, but I would go in a second if someone, anyway, if we can arrange that sometime. But
I think it would be interesting, and maybe there's something. I'll do a research for next week to see if there's anything that I can find in the scripture that can give any kind of resemblance, something that if we touch something or if we are in the environment of something that can cause a change like that, because that mm-hmm. does sound very interesting. And I thought, John, Virginia, I thought that was very interesting about the individual who tried to prevent the Ark of the Covenant from falling. And so mm-hmm. I think that there's a difference, though, in the Old Testament when it comes to the perfection meeting the imperfect versus today, where I go up there and I receive the King of Heaven on my tongue, and I'm not dead. I mean, that's just an interesting point. So sure. That's an interesting thought, though. So that is very powerful. So we'll have to play
it.
Yeah, I'll be looking. So
we'll,
God
we'll
bless you.
We'll start with that next week.
All right, that's good. And John, and one of the things I want to say to John, too, because, I mean, when there's something that he has a question about, I think that's awesome because that's what
sure.
we want. That's exactly what we want. We want to be able to mm-hmm. look these things through. And the question to me was and is, it's not whether or not it's a supernatural occurrence. Is it from the Lord or is it from the devil? I mean, that's really what it amounts to. And so the evidence has to outweigh the other. And that's another part of it. That's where you're going to, John, in all this, on all this. So this is going to be, this is an interesting journey on deeper truth on Sunday nights, the next few weeks anyway.
All right. Well done.
God bless. God bless you all.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.